Hello and welcome to the BizNews News Wrap, our daily show highlighting top stories from BizNews. It's Tuesday, November 5th, and I'm Lucy Ferreira. Before we get started, remember that these clips are just teasers from the full interview. For the complete stories, visit BizNews TV, radio, or.com, or better yet, tune in to the BizNews briefing streamed live at 7 a.m. on weekdays with Alec Hogg. You can find the link to the show on our homepage. In today's news wrap, we'll be covering South Africa-US trade relations with Deputy Minister of Trade and Industry, Andrew Whitfield, who discusses recent efforts to strengthen trade ties amidst global uncertainty. With major shifts on the horizon, how are both nations positioning themselves to foster stronger economic links? After that, we look at market volatility and economic outlooks. Jean-Pierre Fister of Protea Capital Management shares his take on the future of global markets as the US election approaches. With interest rates and spending likely to shift, is this the calm before the storm? South Africa's upcoming G20 presidency with Old Mutual's Ian Williamson, who walks us through the significance of South Africa's G20 presidency next year. He highlights the potential to drive African economic integration and elevate South Africa's global standing in trade and logistics. And lastly, corruption allegations within the SAPS. In a powerful interview, MP Fadil Adams discusses his charges against the top police officials in South Africa, alleging corruption, misuse of state funds, and political manipulation within the SAPS. These revelations raise concerns, serious concerns, about the accountability within the nation's security forces. First off, let's start with Bronwyn Nielsen in conversation with Andrew Whitfield on those recent steps to reset and reinforce South Africa's trade relationship with the US.
We last chatted earlier this year after the elections, and there was lots to do. It's still early days, but we thought it would get appropriate as we move into November to get an update from you as Deputy Minister in terms of progress underway.
Great. Well, thank you very much for having me, Bronwyn. We met just shortly after our trip to Washington on AGOA, and perhaps let me start with that and say that there's been a tremendous effort by the Government of National Unity to rebuild and reset that relationship. Minister Parks Tower and I were in Washington at the end of June, beginning of July this year. And then on the sidelines of the United Nations General Assembly, President Ramaphosa and the full GNU team were out there making sure that we keep that relationship building exercise front and center. There were trips down to Washington from Minister Lamola as well as Minister Tao during September as well, which is, I think, significant given the importance of the relationship in the United States and given the focus on resetting that relationship, that there has been such emphasis over the last 4 months of the GNU, making sure that we keep that relationship on track. There's obviously a big election taking place this week, and we need to bear in mind that there may be implications. But I think that on both sides of the House and Congress, there's been a lot of work done by the GNU, both houses of Congress, both sides of the House, and making sure that South Africa remains front and center insofar as Africa is concerned and the African Continental Free Trade Area. And so I'm excited about the prospects to strengthen the relationship and very, very excited, Bronwyn, just to say that the key outcome of that visit was the reestablishment of the Trade and Investment Framework Agreement, which is a bilateral platform for South Africa and the United States to engage. I think in the context of what's happening, or what may happen, it's important that there is a strengthening of the bilateral relationship between our two countries and not just within the context of AGOA.
And now to JP Fister, who unpacks market stability and the potential for volatility on the eve of the US election.
These global markets have not seen a lot of volatility. So it might be the calm before the storm. All the polls are showing it's on a knife's edge between the two candidates. It might be on a knife's edge in terms of the popular vote, but there are a few betting markets that are showing that Trump is the probable winner, but not by a large margin. So typically in markets, you know, we never know what's going to happen next. We play the probabilities. So we're not doing much. Our portfolios are well structured. I don't know who's going to win, and you'll need to wait and see. The one thing that is clear is that whichever candidate wins, the expectation is it might lead to more spending, which means interest rates could go higher and the dollar could weaken. Over the weekend, we had the Berkshire Hathaway results that came out. It was very interesting that in the commentary, they mentioned that all the retail companies that they own, and therefore they can see the budgets on a real-time basis and what's happening, have seen negative earnings growth and negative revenue growth even. So that indicates that, yes, interest rates are coming down in the US. The consumer seems to be under more pressure than what some of the more lagging data points could indicate. And that's how, why you have this push and pull where weakness in the US, so you might see the Fed cut, you might see interest rates come lower. But on the other end, from a political and fiscal point of view, it seems like a lot of spending is around the corner. So it's going to be very interesting in the coming year to see who's going to win out, the monetary authorities who want to cut rates or the fiscal authorities who are going to spend so much that maybe that would lead to higher rates. It's very interesting if you look at the share prices of most domestically focused companies, the share prices have done particularly well over the last year. But that means that, as usual, one needs to think ahead and you might do the opposite to what a lot of people are thinking. So we are a little bit reticent and wondering if this isn't Ramaphoria 2.0 and whether some people are not getting ahead of themselves. So yes, sentiment has picked up, but now we need to see delivery. Now we need to see real progress on the ground, real policies being delivered that are business friendly, so that you can see that in profit growth. You haven't seen that yet. You haven't seen South African companies show a turn in terms of stronger profit growth. The expectation it will come, and that's why sentiment has turned. But for it to be sustainable, we need to see the real results also be positive as well, so that we aren't once bitten, twice shy in terms of the last time we had this Ramaphoria feeling.
You said you were buying in the lead up to the election to capitalize on that positivity. Is there any value in the South African market? I know that you do have a significant international portfolio, but are there pockets of value within South Africa at the moment?
But the one area of the South African market that hasn't seen that strong rise in share prices is more in the mid-cap space. So across a host of industries, those are the companies that are a little bit smaller. A change in sentiment and a change in the actual policies and economy will have a bigger impact on them.
And next up, Old Mutual's Ian Williamson discusses South Africa's G20 presidency, spotlighting the opportunity to influence global policy and show trade potential.
While we're talking about positivity and building momentum, let's also look to the G20 presidency, which is going to take place next year on South African soil. And when I talk about the presidency, obviously we're taking that over from December, but the summit itself will happen in South Africa. This is going to be an event unlike any other that we've seen on South African soil. The G20, Ian, are you excited about this?
Yeah, it really is quite huge. Now, we take over from Brazil the presidency in December, and I think it creates the presidency itself, I think, creates an opportunity for South Africa to influence effectively global policy around economic integration, trade opportunities, etc. And I think what the president has said is that the intention is to work with the AU, who will also be involved with G20, to further the agenda around some of the African integration issues. You know, the African Free Trade Continental Agreement has been in place for a while now. It's got some quite good traction, but equally there's some barriers, and some of those barriers are related to some of these things that can only be solved at the sort of the next level up. So there's an opportunity, I think, in this G20 position to progress some of that agenda. The summit itself is a huge opportunity for South Africa to showcase business opportunity, business capability, particularly for businesses that are involved in things like import-export, logistics, etc., and some of the more complex trade issues. So I think there is a huge opportunity, and as you say, it will be an enormous event. I think if the Brazilian one is even to go by, that will be really huge. And I think the hotels in Joburg are already trades for that period of time. So very exciting, and I think really looking forward to that.
And finally, Christine with MP Fadil Adams, who has filed charges against four top police officials, revealing troubling allegations of misconduct and corruption.
I will say as much as I can without compromising the cases, because obviously we don't want these people tried by media. But General Lishaba, it is alleged, on the 5th of August 2022, engaged with a prostitute, and she took his service pistol, his cell phone, and his state computer. All of these are state issued. He laid a criminal charge, and she was found. And when the story came out, it was smothered. There were no cases of negligence laid against the general. And his tech was the firearm, the cell phone, and the laptop was replaced, allegedly, using secret police funds, COVID funds. This was a massive cover-up, and we believe that the general does have a case to answer. So that is the one case. General Madondo, who is the 2IC of Crime Intelligence, failed the polygraph. She has no clearance to work at this level. And then Brigadier Nkube, who was tasked with investigating the failure of the polygraph, never did a job. She just let it slide. And then against Major General Kumalo, who is the head of crime intelligence, we've laid charges of nepotism and cronyism. It's a sad state, because I can tell you now, crime intelligence is the nerve center, it's the pulse, it's the core of the policing, of the police services. If this unit is compromised, this country's no, we'll never win the war against crime. Remember this, criminality on the level that South Africans are exposed to it and used to it, it can't flourish without help, without assistance from SAPS. It can't, it's impossible. Now, we can't have people who may be as compromised as these allegations before us running the nerve center of SAPS. It doesn't make any sense. Who's protecting them? It must come out. Who's refused to prosecute? Who's refused to investigate? It must come out. Because these are very, very serious allegations. Because in any well-run corporation, all four of these people would have been suspended on full pay until the end of an investigation. Why this has never happened, somebody needs to tell us. But it gets worse. And you know what? I'll allow you to do that back. Don't let me run your interview.
No, Mr. Adams, earlier you spoke to me about a Singapore trip. I don't know if we are going to talk about that on air.
I'm happy to talk about it. This year, Major General Madondo and Major General Lishaba went on the two-day joust to Singapore. The purpose of the trip was to go to a convention to go and see the latest cyber techniques for fighting crime. My question is, why did 14 people have to go? Why do we take two clerks along? When I tell you clerks, I'm talking about constables. I question the 1.5 million rands value for a two-day trip to Singapore. We bought none of the equipment. As far as I know, none of the 14 people that came back shared any of their experience with SAPS. There's been no skills transfer. Whatever they may have learned on this exhibition, it was never spread amongst the rest of the country. So we are questioning the spin. Was this a buddy-buddy trip to Singapore, all expenses paid, all of it five-star, in an era of cost containment? There are police stations that do not have toilet rolls. Yet we spend 14 people five-star to Singapore for 2 whole days. We are asking, where is the value in it to the taxpayer? Because if you came back and said, these cell phones will help us fight crime, therefore we're purchasing 100. I said, okay. But there's no value. You didn't buy a pencil. You didn't purchase a thing that's going to make me, Chris, or our children safer.
And that brings us to the end of today's news wrap. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you tomorrow.